Krishna Pristaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine. Chaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadara Shri Vasadi Gauravaktavanda. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Narayanam namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam
Devim
Sarasvatim Vyasam
Tatojayam Udirayat
Nashta Prayashu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the Supermost Human, unto Mother Saraswati, the Goddess of Learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the Author. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and loving devotional service unto the Supreme Person, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So we are in first canto, sixth chapter. The title of the chapter is Conversation Between Narada and Vyasadeva. And today's shloka is 34, so 1634. Etadi atura chitanam.
Etadi atura chitanam. Narada Muni speaking to Vyasadeva. It is personally experienced by me that those who are always full of cares and anxieties due to desiring contact with the senses with their objects can cross the ocean of nescience on a most suitable boat, the constant champion of the transcendental activities of the Personality of Godhead. Hear it once again, and join me if you like. It is personally experienced by me that those who are always full of cares and anxieties due to desiring contact of the senses with their objects can cross the ocean of nescience on a most suitable boat. The constant chanting of the transcendental activities of the personality of God.
Was it on? Okay, so we apologize for that. The microphone wasn't on. I'll read it through the whole thing again. But it was on when Mother Mukhya was speaking, right? Okay, so really quick, we are sorry about that for our listeners out there. We thought the mic was on, so you won't miss out on anything. We'll just quickly go through. We just read the shloka, basically. So we'll just quickly read it again. So we're in Canto 1, Chapter 6, Shloka 34. Etadi atura chitanam matrasparshe chayamahu balasindhu plavodrishto haricharyanuvamanam Etadi atura chitanam matrasparshe chayamahu balasindhu plavodrishto haricharyanuvamanam. Synonyms, etat, this, he, certainly, atura chitanam, of those whose minds are always full of cares and anxieties, matra, objects of sense enjoyment, sparsha, senses, ichaya, by desires, muhuhu, always, bhavasindhu, the ocean of nescience, plava, the boat, drishta, experienced, haricharya, activities of hari, the personality of Godhead, anuvamanam, constant recitation. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. This is Narada Muni speaking to Vyasadeva. It is personally experienced by me that those who are always full of cares and anxieties, due to desiring contact of the senses with their objects, can cross the ocean of nescience on a most suitable boat. The constant chanting of the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. One more time. It is personally experienced by me that those who are always full of cares and anxieties, due to desiring contact of the senses with their objects, can cross the ocean of nescience on a most suitable boat, the constant chanting of the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The symptoms of a living being is that he cannot remain silent even for some time. He must be doing something, thinking of something, or talking about something. Generally, the materialistic men think and discuss about subjects which satisfy their senses. But as these things are exercised under the influence of the external illusory energy, such sensual activities do not actually give them satisfaction. One more time. So materialistic men, they like to discuss about subjects which satisfy their senses, but as these things are exercised under the influence of the external illusory energy, such sensual activities do not actually give them any satisfaction. On the contrary, they become full with cares and anxieties. This is called maya, or what is not. That which cannot give them satisfaction is accepted as an object of satisfaction. So Narada Muni, by his personal experience, says that satisfaction for such frustrated beings engaged in sense gratification is to chant always the activities of the Lord. So the only way to get satisfaction for such frustrated beings who are engaged in talks about sense gratification is to chant always the activities of the Lord. The point is that the subject matter only should be changed. No one can check the thinking activities of a living being, nor the feeling, willing, or working processes. But if one wants actual happiness, one must change the subject matter only. Instead of talking of the politics of a dying man, one might discuss the politics administered by the Lord himself. Instead of relishing activities of the cinema artists, one can turn his attention to the activities of the Lord with his eternal associates like the gopis and lakshmis. The almighty personality of Godhead, by his causeless mercy, descends to the earth and manifests activities almost on the line of worldly men, but at the same time extraordinarily, because he is almighty. He does so for the benefit of all conditioned souls, so so that they can turn their attention to transcendence. By doing so, the conditioned soul will gradually be promoted to the transcendental position and easily cross the ocean of nescience, the source of all miseries. By doing so, the conditioned soul will gradually be promoted to the transcendental position and easily cross the ocean of nescience, which is the source of all miseries. This is stated from personal experience by such an authority as Sri Narada Muni, and we can have the same experience also if we begin to follow in the footsteps of the great sage, the dearmost devotee of the Lord. Magyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Untanyana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Thank you for tuning into the class today, requesting the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, and especially the senior Vaishnavas who may be listening. I request your blessings that I could say something pleasing or useful today. So this shloka today is all about the glories of chanting the activities of the Lord. Right? And what are the effects of chanting of those activities, and how the conditioned soul, it's his inherent nature to want to be chanting about something, to be discussing something, watching something, listening to something. It's just a natural propensity within the conditioned soul. So he can choose whether he wants to use his thinking, feeling, or willing, and willing for material subjects, which are in the external energy, or he can engage that same propensity to hear about the activities of the Lord. So the jiva can choose. One is in the external energy, and the other one is in the internal energy. And they have quite different effects and results. So we'll hear about those different results in a bit. So this is a process of dovetailing, right? Using our material propensity that one might naturally have and dovetailing it into the service of the Lord. So Prabhupada says here that only the subject matter needs to be changed. You don't have to change your propensity, only the subject matter should be changed. Prabhupada says that the symptom of a living being is that he cannot remain silent even for some time. He must be doing something, thinking of something, or talking about something. A living being cannot be vacant of desires. This is from a shloka a little bit earlier in the chapter. He cannot be vacant of desires. He is not a dead stone. He must be working, thinking, feeling, and willing. But when he thinks, feels, and wills materially, he becomes entangled. And conversely, when he thinks, feels, and wills for the service of the Lord, he becomes gradually freed from all entanglements. So one activity, same activity in the material energy becomes entangling. The same activity in the spiritual energy in the service of the Lord actually has the opposite effect. He becomes gradually freed from all entanglements. So the result is quite the opposite. In previous shlokas, we were hearing how Narada Muni, he had the Lord appear in his heart because he was chanting his glories. So through the chanting of the Lord's activities and glories, the Lord appears in the heart of the jiva who's chanting it. Prabhupada uses the term, he appears on the heart of the spiritual television. And Prabhupada also says, because the Lord and his glories are identical, because it's on an absolute plane, not relative, so the Lord and his glories are identical. And by chanting his glories, one can penetrate into the presence of the Lord. Material service has satiation, whereas spiritual service of the Lord has neither satiation nor end. I think we can say we've all experienced that personally, right? If we're singing a materialistic song, for example, versus singing a devotional song, We can feel that the effects are different. So one is the external potency, one is in the internal potency. So another point that was made in the purport was that the Lord descends to the material world and exhibits his activities for the benefit of all conditioned souls so that they can turn their attention to transcendence and to him, right? So Krishna is always trying to find ways to turn our attention back to him, back to our original spiritual position. So one way he does that is by enacting his pastimes so that we have something spiritual and something extraordinary that we can discuss, right? So we're not discussing things which are within the three modes of material nature, which have satiation and end, and which have no permanent benefits for the Bada Jiva, for the conditioned soul. As we know, hearing his pastimes develops attraction and attachment to Krishna. So while Krishna is trying all these different ways to get our attention, it is up to the living entity to make the choice. Will he turn his face to Krishna, or will he remain engrossed in material subject matters? So always the jiva has a choice. And if he does turn his face to Krishna, Prabhupada says, what happens? The conditioned soul will gradually be promoted to the transcendental position and easily cross the ocean of nescience, the source of all miseries. He'll gradually be promoted to the transcendental position and easily cross the ocean of nescience, which is the source of all miseries. That sounds pretty good. I think in the shloka it was said, Plava, the boat, right? Bhava Sindhu is the ocean of nescience, and Plava, the boat, and Harichaya, the activities of Hari, are the boat which over which to cross over this Bhava Sindhu, the ocean of nescience. So why is this? Why is it that worldly subject matters have one effect and Krishna Leela, Krishna Katha, has a different effect? Well, the reason is that Krishna Leela is obviously not in the material nature. It's not within the three modes of material nature. Right? It's transcendental. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tatvataham tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sorjanam. Bhagavad Gita 4:9. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in the material world, but attains to my eternal abode. So one who knows that my activities are transcendental, they are not in the three modes of material nature. So material subject matters are what is called apratishta. They have no basis in absolute reality. So again, another difference between material subject matters and transcendental subject matters. Material subject matters are apratishta. They have no basis in absolute reality. By engaging in material subject matters, we don't resolve anything of the real problems of the jiva, which are janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, birth, death, old age, disease. So material subject matters have no eternal benefit for the jiva. And as it points out in the purport, it only leads to frustration. So in the third canto, 32nd chapter, there's a very nice purport about how materialistic men who aren't inclined to turn their face to Krishna, not in this lifetime at least, they believe that these pastimes of the Lord are fiction. Materialistic persons are never interested in hearing about the marvelous pastimes of the Lord. They think that they are fictions and stories, and that the Supreme Godhead is also a man of material nature. they are not fit for advancing in devotional service or Krishna consciousness. Such materialistic persons are interested in newspaper stories, novels, and imaginary dramas. The factual activities of the Lord, such as Lord Krishna's acting in the Battle of Kurukshetra, or the activities of the Pandavas, or the Lord's activities in Vrindavan or Dwaraka, are related in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which are full of the activities of the Lord. But materialistic persons who engage in elevating their position in the material world are not interested in such activities of the Lord. They may be interested in the activities of a great politician or a great rich man of this world, but they are not interested in the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. They may be interested in the activities of a great politician or a great rich man of this world, but they are not interested in the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. So I'll give a personal example here. Prabhupada personally drove this point for me, and I had a realization about this personally. Right, so in today's material world, those people who don't turn their face to God, there's plenty of other personalities that they can worship and idolize, right? Movie stars, athletes, right? Because we all have the propensity to sort of, admire somebody, a great personality, to watch their pastimes and to discuss their pastimes, as the Purport was saying. So we all have that propensity within us. So if one doesn't have Krishna and Krishna's activities, he's going to, find some other personality to worship. Movie star, athlete, politician, etc. So my personal thing is I love Hollywood movies from the 1940s. It's sort of like my little weakness. I just love those old movies that are from the golden era of Hollywood. And those 1940s. I love that whole 1940s time. I love the way the people dressed and the people, interacted with each other. It was a very different time than it is today, and I wish I could dress the way they do. So I very much, liked movies from the 1940s. And if you've seen any of them, one of the biggest stars of that time, I just thought was oh, he's such a great actor and he's just so cool and interesting, is Humphrey Bogart. I'm sure you've seen some of his movies. He usually plays a certain type of character. He's either fighting the Nazis, and he's usually a good guy, but he's a tough guy, but he's a good guy. Anyway, he has a very unique and interesting personality, and just the characters he portrays, they're very fascinating. So Krishna showed me how this is Maya. I was reading once a biography that was written by his wife, Lauren Bacall, and as you may know, he died pretty young. He died in his 50s of cancer. So even that whole process, how this tough guy who was, just undefeatable, and he always defeated the bad guy, and eventually this personality had to get disease and pass away. Eventually he too had to succumb to birth, death, old age, disease. Number one. Number two, when he was dying, his wife related that the night before his death, he had, cancer is a very bad disease. The night before he died, he had a very, very bad night, the worst night ever of his disease, of his whole life. And she was describing what he was doing, and he was, grabbing at his chest and screaming and trying to escape. And it occurred to me then that what was happening was that the Yamadutas came for Bogie. Right? So she was describing how it was such a horrible night, and she was describing what was happening, and I understood that the Yamadutas came. So it occurred to me, okay, you were interested in some personality for whom the Yamadutas came. That's not befitting of a devotee. So that was a little realization that Krishna gave me. When I read that, I was oh, the Yamadutas came for Bogart. no, I should not, you know, I should not, like, worship this personality. The Yamadutas came for him. Like, he's not a devotee. Anyway, sorry about that. So, material knowledge in Bhagavad Gita is one of my favorite shlokas, 241. It says that material knowledge is many-branched. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. So those who are resolute in purpose, their aim is one. And those who are irresolute, which is materialistic men, their intelligence is many-branched. When material literature or material modes of thought, you can see how there's no one unifying principle, right? So it's many branched. There's no, like, central authority like Krishna. So when I was in a university, I learned about all these different schools of thought, right? And we could decide, like, which school of thought do I, like, prescribe to, right? So, and there's all different ones, and whichever you want to prescribe to, that's okay. You know, that's what resonates for you. So this is what materialistic knowledge is. It's just different schools of thought, and we get to decide, like, which school of thought am I going to prescribe to? So one very prevalent school of thought is something called postmodernism in literature and in other disciplines. Postmodernism. So I wanted to read your definition of postmodernism, and you can tell me whether this sounds many-branched to you, right? So on one hand, we have Krishna Katha. We have the philosophy and the process of Krishna consciousness, which is very one-pointed, right? And on the other hand, we have materialistic knowledge, which is many-branched and has no eternal benefit for the jiva. So let me read you this definition of postmodernism, and you can decide whether this is many-branched or not. Postmodernism is generally defined by an attitude of skepticism, irony, or rejection towards what it describes as the grand narratives and ideologies associated with modernism, often criticizing Enlightenment rationality and focusing on the role of ideology in maintaining social and economic power. Postmodern thinkers frequently describe knowledge, claims, and value systems as contingent or socially conditioned, describing them as products of a political, historical, or cultural discourses and hierarchies. Common targets of postmodern criticism include universalist ideas of objective reality, morality, truth, human nature, reason, science, language, and social progress. There's more. Accordingly, postmodern thought is broadly characterized by tendencies to self-consciousness, self-referentiality, epistemological and moral relativism, pluralism, and irreverence. Criticisms of postmodernism are intellectually diverse and include arguments that postmodernism promotes obscurantism, is meaningless, and that it adds nothing to analytical or empirical knowledge. So we can compare that to the beautiful, wonderful, poetic Krishna Katha, which has ultimate benefit for the jiva. Or you can choose one school of thought, such as postmodernism, and you can subscribe to that. So the choice is pretty clear. So what is this one-pointed intelligence? In the purport to that same shloka I just read about many branch 241, it's called, Prabhupada calls it Vyavasayatmika intelligence, a strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life, Vyavasayatmika intelligence. The resolute purpose of a person in Krishna consciousness is based on knowledge. A person in Krishna consciousness is the rare good soul who knows perfectly that Vasudeva or Krishna is the root of all manifested causes. So, Bhagavad Gita 7:19, Bahunam janmanam mante, gyanavan mam prapadyante, Vasudeva sarvamiti, samahatma sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes. and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Right? And then there's also 10:8. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanditaha. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So the whole process of Vyavasyatmika intelligence, or one-pointed intelligence in Krishna consciousness, is it depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body. Not theoretically, but practically, when there is no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities. And Prabhupada makes here a very nice point that one who is not firmly fixed in mind, one who is not one-pointed, has Vyavasyatmika intelligence, that he will by default have to engage in fruitive activities, by default. Material mind wants to be diverted by various fruitive activities. But a Krishna conscious person uses his intelligence to make his mind one-pointed and engage in the process of Krishna consciousness. Okay, so we have one more topic in today's class relating to the shloka today. So we talked all about the Krishna Leela and the effects of Krishna Leela and Krishna Katha. And of course, the class would not be complete if we didn't talk about the connection between Nam and Leela, right? So Nam is the basis of everything in Krishna consciousness, and Nam leads to Leela, right? So it's the progression Nama, Rupa, to Guna, to Leela. So in a class in Allahabad in 1971, Prabhupada makes a very nice statement about this. He says that Srila Jiva Goswami says that a pure devotee who chants Hare Krishna mantra, immediately all these, Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela, simply by chanting name, you will feel the form of Krishna. Oh, here's Krishna, Nama, Rupa, Guna, here are the qualities. Oh, Krishna is so qualified, he's so kind, he's so magnanimous, so many qualities you will remember, Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela. Then his pastimes, oh, Krishna instructed Arjuna. Krishna played with his cowherd boys. Krishna had very nice talks with the gopis, with his mother, Yashoda. These things will all be remembered. That is the factual perfection of chanting. And so, it's two different levels of Leela. One is Katha, like hearing Krishna Katha, hearing his Leela. And another one is when the Leela actually becomes revealed in the heart. Right? So it's two levels of Leela. And we'll talk a little bit about that. So in order to get the Leela revealed in the heart is, of course, the process of purification, right? Using Nam and offenseless chanting. Right? Everything hinges on chanting offenselessly, right? So what is this purification? Purusha prakriti shtohi bhunte prakriti jangunan karanam guna sangasya sadasadyoni janmasu. 13:22 Bhagavad Gita. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. Right? So the contamination comes through association with material modes through many, many lifetimes, right? So that is the contamination of the jiva, associating with many different types of material bodies, many different material situations, right? Becomes further and further entangled in the material nature. And the basic impurity is that I am the center, I am the enjoyer, I am the doer, not Krishna. And there's an animalistic conception of life, that life is all about only eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So gradually the process of chanting, if the jiva is fortunate enough to come in contact with Guru and Krishna, and he takes up the process of Krishna consciousness, gradually, through chanting of Nam, and eventually offenseless chanting, he cleanses away all his impurities from all these lives of association with matter, right? Lord Chaitanya calls it Cheta Darpana Marjanam, cleaning the mirror. Cheta Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. So the process of Nam is very important to have Leela eventually revealed in the heart. And not only chanting, but we have to aim for offenseless chanting and Shuddha Nam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I found a very nice quote by him. He talks about, he just makes a very nice poetic statement about the soul fettered in matter. So he says, the soul fettered in matter has, from its own degradation, lost its right to see Krishna and his spiritual lila in the spiritual world. So due to our contamination and our degradation through various lives in the material world, the jiva loses his right to see Krishna and his lila in the spiritual world. Then, as a man's spiritual vision improves through chanting, offenseless chanting, aspiring for Shuddha Nam, as a man's spiritual vision improves, he sees Krishna and loves him with all his heart. So he enumerates three places where Leela is taking place. Krishna's Leela is taking place eternally in the spiritual world. In the material world, it's taking place on all the different planets. Right? So it winds up on one planet, a particular pastime, and that pastime starts on another planet. So in the spiritual world, the Leela is going on. In the material world, the Leela is going on. And also, the third place is in the Bada Jiva's heart, which has been purified. Right? According to his Adhikar. According to his Adhikar, and also his particular affinity that's in his heart. Right? That's very nice. So each of us has a particular affinity of how he would like to experience Krishna's pastime. So in one heart, he's stealing the gopis' clothes. In another heart, he is killing Kamsa. In another heart, he is Lord Ram. In another heart, he is herding the cows with his gopas. And yet in another heart, he's putting Prahlad Maharaj on his lap. So according to the jiva's individual particular affinity, in that context, the Lord enacts the Leela in a purified heart of the Bada Jiva. So it's very nice, something we can strive for. Okay, I'll finish here, and just at the end, mentioned briefly today is the disappearance day of Baladevi Vibhushan and also the appearance day of Gangamata Goswamini. Before we mention them, I thought maybe we could do some questions first on the class. Are there any questions? No questions? Well, I was hoping to take a sip of water. If there are questions. So today's disappearance day of Baladeva Vidyabhushan, and Mother Mukhya already read quite a nice long excerpt about him, so I'll just briefly mention him here. So he's one of the links in our parampara. Right? He comes between Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Baladeva Vidyabhushan is between Vishwanath and Bhaktivinoda. And his time of appearance was around the beginning of the 18th century. And he is most famous for putting together a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, which was called the Govinda Bhasya. Up until that time, I guess the early 18th century, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas did not have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Well, actually they did, but this was not accepted by the other Vaishnava sects, which is Lord Chaitanya made the statement that the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra and Brahma Sutra, the natural commentary is the Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So there was no need to make a separate commentary. There was no need to make a separate commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, right? Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest literature describing the pastimes of the Lord. So that also links us nicely to today's class about the pastimes of the Lord, right? So this is the highest commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, is the pastimes of the Lord. So there was no need to make a separate one. But apparently the other Vaishnava sects did not want to accept that, and particularly there was a conference where the Ramanandis, which is the Sri Sampradaya, they made a point to the king of Jayapur, the conference was in Jayapur, how these Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because they do not have a bona fide commentary on the Vedanta Sutras, they should not be allowed to worship the deity. They are not, you know, totally bona fide, so we should be in charge of worshiping the deity. And also they did not want to accept the worship of Srimati Radharani. So Baladev Vidyabhushan was very, distraught about this, because he was extremely, extremely learned in all these topics, and, you know, he would just blow them away with his knowledge and his powerful preaching and you know, able to defeat all points of view, but they still wanted the commentary. So he prayed to his, Baladev Vidyabhushan went away and he prayed to his deity. I forgot the name of the deity. Anyway, he prayed to his deity and he said, Krishna deity, how am I going to, you know, write this commentary? So the deity appeared to him in his dream and he said, don't worry, I will dictate this commentary and you just scribe it out. So indeed, his deity dictated the Govinda Bhasya to him, and in 18 days he was able to complete the whole Vedanta Sutra commentary. And he brought it back to the Ramanandis, and they were, you know, completely blown away by his commentary and by his knowledge, which was dictated by his deity in his dream. And in fact, they all then wanted to take initiation from him. So I guess he definitely defeated them. And being so polite and cultured and not wanting to make offenses, Baladev Vidyabhushan said, no, out of my respect for the Sri Sampradaya, I will not take the chance of committing an offense to them. And, you know, he did not want to initiate the Sri Bhaktas. So, but anyway, so he was finally, you know, proven within the other Vaishnava communities, because he made this commentary, Govinda Bhasya, on the Vedanta Sutra. So, and then he was given the title Vidyabhushan, which means Vidya is knowledge and Bhushan is jewel. Vidyabhushan, jewel of knowledge. Yeah, are there any questions at all? Is anybody listening online?
This is from Mother Radhatmika. I appreciate how you repeat some highlights in the purport. So you repeat it, that's nice. And this is from Mother Madhumati. Thank you, Sri Devi, for the clear and systematic class. And this is from Mother Swaha. Sri Sri Radha Govinda and Sri Govinda Vaishya. No, that's not.
Do you have any discussion points? Your discussion is always so learned and nice.
Well, I was, while you were, there's so many points, very nice classification. I was thinking like the difference between, because no longer the song is
I have some little things about her too.
About it, Rupa Kaviraj, who was actually deviated from our Gauri Sampradaya, and he promoted this group, and the lineage still there. And his guru was Mother Hemalata Thakurani, who is the daughter of Srinivasacharya. Anyway, that's a nice story that how she actually slapped him and took off his neck beads, because the main point is that like Mother Nanda gave class, I think Friday or Thursday, that Prabhupada writes that Narad Muni was penetrating while he's chanting the glories. So it is not just saying the word of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The inner realization express, verbalize the feeling, emotion through the chanting. So the effect actually of the chanting Hare Krishna is not the alphabet, it is the real substance that affects the heart. And so acquired knowledge is good, realized knowledge is needed, but realized knowledge will never come unless somebody hears. Unless somebody acquires, hearing Bhagavatam, reading, hearing Prabhupada, then application of that, what produced the realization.
Mm-hmm.
And from that realization, when further progress to repent and regret, which is actually material things, is actually push us, our material contamination push us through Krishna consciousness, because we repent, oh, I was deprived so many life, and even in my early life I was not into it, why I had the opportunity, oh Lord, I'm so abominable. So some or other material things also pushes us to go further. That time, seeing our sincerity, the Lord reveals. Yes, that revelation is actually very effective prophecy. So Prabhupada was experiencing, Krishna was revealing in him, then he would in fact, I would say, become contagious, that everybody would be affected when he would speak and others. So the process began with the acquiring knowledge, hearing and other. So that we give importance a lot. But in Vrindavan still today, there is one group, they do not, they say just smaran, just penetrate to meditate on God. I mean, we don't, but I don't know.
It seems
I
like
I have not spoken to them, but practically it doesn't make any sense to me.
Because I would think, especially in Kali Yuga, our minds are so, it's so hard to meditate, right? So the atmosphere is so polluted. So to just say, like, remember Krishna is just like not so easy at all. Whereas to hear Krishna's pastimes is kind of like easy, right? It's doable. It's effective,
yeah.
It would seem. Thank you. So is that the sect that Gangamati Goswamini is from? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I wonder, so why do we acknowledge her within our Gaudiya Vaishnava lineage? She's not a Gaudiya Vaishnava.
She's Gaudiya Vaishnava.
Oh, she is.
Yeah, in Adi Lila chapter 8, text 60, Srila Prabhupada gives the connection, link,
She's a branch of the Chaitanya.
From Ananta Acharya, the Mahaprabhu's intimate associate. Ananta Acharya was a gopi. Prabhupada gave, actually the big paragraph, but Prabhupada gave a very nice link. That's why you follow her. There's a something here from Mother Vishnupriya. Thank you for talking about your Maya, which is also mine, not Humphrey Bogart, but the stars of that period in black and white,
yes.
So clear cut.
She is the same Maya, yes.
But Krishna showing you who these stars are at heart is huge. He is so merciful to all.
Yes, Krishna really gave me that realization, you know. Like,
now there is some question. But isn't Smaranam not enough, as it is one of the nine process? No, there is a two way to look at it.
Well, I'll say first, but then you can embellish what I'll say, I'm sure. Well, Shravanam is more primary, right? Kirtanam, Shravanam. These are the two primary angas of our process. Right, and Smaranam comes from Shravanam. Am I wrong? Comes from Shravanam. Kirtanam Shravanam produces Smaranam. So yeah, it is there. It is important, but like Shravanam is sort of more primary.
Yes, I mean we can look at it from many angles. One angle, I think, in second canto. Yeah, second canto, that verse is there, I forgot the number. The verse goes, Sinnata Saddhaya Nittam Vinantasya Sachestitam Kalena Navati Dirgana Bhagavan Vishati Didi. How the Lord appear in your heart. When Lord appear in your heart, you can saw Nubhavati, you can experience, you can see, you can hear. That dissolves all your material existence. You can be in Alachua, but in spiritual, pure goodness, connected with spiritual world, right here. But you can be amongst us, you know, like that.
This is when Leela is revealed in the heart?
Yes. So that verse, in that verse, when I read, you know, I have a little different background of looking things. Everyday Buddha is unique. They look at their own way.
Yes.
And one way to look at it, that when we... Here, if we have something relevant in my life right now, what I want to do, when I read, if it is relevant, it catches my attention.
Mm.
So it's very, I notice that practically, it's so nice. And then if I pay more attention, and then there is an attachment development. I want to know more about this. Did Prabhupada say somewhere else, you know, like, because Prabhupada gives so many confidential things, sometimes, you know, more than the sloka to me. So then I found that, okay, hearing is good, very good, but explaining, not repeating, as Prabhupada said, 116, he says, hearing and explaining is more important than reading. So, in this purport he says, hearing, then contemplating, and then reflection will take place, and then we go further, then we see that introspectively, he said, what did I understand? What is my understanding? It's not repeating, but it's expressing realization.
Yes.
And that brings us.
Yes. Isn't realization like how this applies to my life?
Yes.
That's realization.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's like, a realization about Humphrey Bogart, like the Yamadutas came for him. that's like a realization, right?
Yeah,
it's
very good.
And it's very simple again.
Yes. And then in that process, Lord will reveal. Let me see, there's more maybe. Actually, there is more. You want me to read it or you want
yes.
me to read it?
Yes, please do. Now, we have more time, right, in this period of time, so let us relish more, why not? We're not rushing off to go somewhere.
All those and don'ts are for always remembering Krishna and never forget Krishna, but this is direct result of chanting and hearing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little bit about her. Okay, why not? So I don't think her exact timing is known, but she was lived around the time where most of Lord Chaitanya's associates had left the planet. She was born a princess, actually. Shachi Devi was her name. She was a daughter of a Bengali king. So she was a princess, and eventually she inherited her father's kingdom. So she was like a queen, I guess, right? She was very pious since childhood, and she wasn't interested in becoming married, so she ruled the kingdom after her father's death. But then she renounced her father's kingdom and basically became like a beggar. And she went to Vrindavan and she found the guru. His name was Haridas Pandit. Not our Haridas, a different Haridas. And she put on rags and she went begging house to house. And eventually she went to... He instructed her to go to Radha Kund, and I guess he had another female disciple there, and he instructed her to associate with her, and she chanted 192 rounds a day. Is that the same as Haridas Thakur? Same as Haridas Thakur. It seems unimaginable. A day. And daily she circumambulated Govardhan. And then on her guru's order, she went to Jagannath Puri. And in Jagannath Puri, she restored the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. She was giving Harikatha, and she actually got many disciples, including kings and brahmanas. And there's a little pastime of how she got her name, Gangamata Goswamini, because she was Shachi Devi until that time. I guess it was the day of Ganga Sagara Mela, which is a special day of the Ganga. And she had a desire to bathe in the Ganges. But that night, the Ganges flowed from the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath and came to Sachi Devi's ashram. Entering Ganga Devi's water, Sachi Devi floated to the lotus feet of Jagannath Swami inside the temple. That's very ecstatic. After unlocking the temple doors the next morning, the pujaris were surprised to find her inside the temple. Thinking she was a thief, they immediately put Sachi Devi in jail. Seeing this mistake, Lord Jagannath himself appeared simultaneously in the dream of both the Puri king and the head pujari, and he ordered them to release Sachi Devi and to take initiation from her. And from that day on, she became famous as Gangamata Goswamini. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Yeah.